ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, titled The Lord in the Heart, text number 30.
Ekaika Sangani Diyanu Bhavaya.
Ekaika Sangani
Ekaika Sangani Diyanu Bhavaya.
Ekaika Sangani Diyanu Bhavaya.
Pada Diyavada Sitangada Brittaha.
Pada Diyavada Sitangada Brittaha.
Pada Diyavada Sitangada Bhagada Brittaha.
Pada Diyavada
Jitam jitam sthanam apahodaraya.
Jitam jitam sthanam apahodaraya.
Jitam jitam sthanam apahodaraya.
Jitam jitam sthanam apahodaraya.
Param param suddhyati diryatayata.
Param param suddhyati diryatayata.
Ek ek sa. One to one or one after another.
One to one or one after another.
Angani.
Angani.
Limbs.
Diya.
By attention.
By
Anubhavayat.
Meditate upon.
Pada Adi.
Legs.
Legs. Etc. Yava. Until. Asitam.
Smiling.
Gada Britta. The personality of
Godhead.
Jitam jitam, gradually controlling the mind. Stanam, higher and higher. Sudhyati, sorry, stanam, higher and sudhyati, purified. Dri, intelligent. Yata yata, as much as. So translation. The process of meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Lord and progress to His smiling face. The meditation should be concentrated upon the lotus feet, then the calves, then the thighs, and in this way, higher and higher. The more the mind becomes fixed upon the different parts of the limbs, basically of the Lord, one after another, the more the intelligence becomes purified. We read the translation effectively. The process of meditation should begin
from the lotus feet of the
Lord and progress to His smiling face. The meditation should be concentrated upon the lotus feet, then the calves,
then the thighs,
and in this way,
higher and higher.
The more the mind becomes fixed upon the different parts of the limbs, one after another, the more the intelligence becomes purified. We read the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It's a big purport, so probably it takes some time. But very good purport too. The process of meditation recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not to fix one attention on something impersonal or void. The meditation should concentrate on the person of the Supreme Lord, either in his Virata Rupa, the gigantic universal form, or his Satchitananda Vigraha, as described in the scriptures. There are authorized descriptions of Vishnu forms, and there are authorized representations of deities in the temple. Thus, one can practice meditating upon the deity, concentrating his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and gradually rising higher and higher to this smiling face. According to the Bhagavata school, the Lord's Rasa dancing is the smiling face of the Lord. Since it is recommended in this verse that one should gradually progress from the lotus feet up to the smiling face, we shall not jump at once to understand the Lord's pastime in the Rasa dance. It is better to practice concentrating our attention by offering flowers and tulasi to the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, we gradually become purified by the archana process. We dress the Lord, bathe him, etc. And all these transcendental activities help us purify our existence. When we reach the highest standard of purification, if we see the smiling face of the Lord or hear the rasa dance, pastimes of the Lord, then we can relish his activities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, the rasa dance pastimes are delineated in the 10th canto, chapter 29 to 34. The more one concentrates on the transcendental form of the Lord, either on the lotus feet, the calves, the thighs or the chest, the more one becomes purified. In this verse, it is clearly stated, the more the intelligence become purified, the more one become purified. In this verse it clearly stated, the more the intelligence becomes purified, which means the more one becomes detached from sense gratification. Our intelligence in the present conditioned state of life is impure due to being engaged in sense gratification. The result of meditation on the transcendental form of the Lord will be manifested by one's detachment from sense gratification. Therefore, the ultimate purpose of meditation is purification of one's intelligence. Those who are too engrossed in sense gratification cannot be allowed to participate in archana or to touch the transcendental form of the Radha, Krishna or Vishnu deities. For them, it is better to meditate upon the gigantic Virat Rupa of the Lord as recommended in the next verse. The impersonalist and the voidist are therefore recommended to meditate upon the universal form of the Lord, whereas the devotees are recommended to meditate on the deity worship in the temple. Because the impersonalist and the voidist are not sufficiently purified in the spiritual activities, archana is not meant for them.
Om Ajnana Timirandashi Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahi Tadati Svapadam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadhi Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna.
So this chapter is entitled The Lord in the Heart, which means it is focusing on the Paramatma aspect of the Lord. The heart is imagined to be a lotus flower, and the Lord comes and sits in the lotus flower if the heart is purified. And Srila Prabhupada gives a process that the more one's intelligence is purified, then more one is purified. We will see what it is later. So, let's quickly look at the summary of this chapter. We understand. Now, in this there are, I think, how many verses are there? 37, isn't it? Okay. There are 37 verses in this chapter. It's a very good chapter based on focus on meditation and the aspect of the Paramatma aspect of the Lord. So, chapter, in this chapter 2,
there are 37 verses. Verse 1 to 14 talks about the meditation on the Paramatma aspect of the Lord. Right? So we are on chapter number 13, right? 13 and next verse also is talking about the meditation. Now verse number 15 to 21 is talking about a yogi, how he is preparing to leave his body through yoga. Right? So what's the whole point of meditation on the Lord? Is to prepare ourselves for the death, you know. So the yogi is preparing, meditating on the super soul and is preparing to leave the body. What are the aspects that's covered from 15 to 21? Now 22 to 31 is talking about how a yogi transforms from this universe onto the spiritual world. Right? There is a different realm known as spiritual world. How a yogi successfully transforms beyond this universe. It's talking about the verse number 22 to 31. And 32 to 37 is talking about Shukadeva Goswami is giving a conclusion about the path of Bhakti Yoga, which is ultimate, which the Lord is recommending. Alright? In Srimad Bhagavatam as well as in Bhagavad Gita. So, we'll see the different aspect of it now. Now, verse 8 to 12. Right? What's happening is, Shukadeva Goswami is giving the different features of the Supreme Lord. See, the Lord has got, the God, right? God or Lord Krishna can be realized in three stages. What are the stages? One is through Brahman. Brahman means the Lord, Lord's feature, first feature, Brahman, is spread throughout this world as light, right? Which is an impersonal aspect. Which means you can't realize the Lord through that through the personal aspect, right? It's an impersonal meaning. Lord is spread as light throughout, right? It's impersonal aspect in form of energy, right? So everything he knows, whatever we are doing, everything he knows through the impersonal aspect, just by his first impersonal aspect. The second aspect is, as Paramatma, the Lord is present in each individual heart as Paramatma. See, there are so many people living here, including the animals and the ants and the trees and all living entities, right? The Lord is sitting in the heart as Paramatma. All of us, you know, the Lord is sitting there as Paramatma. That is the second realization. The yogis, right, they meditate on the aspect of the Paramatma and go to the Lord. That's the second stage. The third and the perfect realization is Bhagavan. By knowing that the Supreme Lord has got personal aspect like us, right? So this is a form of the Lord where we bathe the Lord, we dress up the Lord, and we, you know, offer worship also. This is the Bhagavan aspect. Right? Suppose when I talk right now, someone is taking here, right? And later on someone hears my voice and they say that I'm not existing. How will I feel? Right? I'll be upset, you know, because I am talking, someone else is taping. This is a separated energy, right? Everyone has got separated. This is my separated energy, right? Now someone listens and say that this person is not existing. So how will I feel? I'm just one of the small, tiny, insignificant soul in this world, right? So there are so many of us all representing as a finite particle of the Lord soul, right? So the Lord is completely spiritual. So we have to understand that the Bhagavan aspect is a complete realization. Lord in his personal aspect. That is why we have this Bhagavan, we worship, we have a procedure in place, you know, from morning 4:30 till night 9:30. Right? There's a procedure in place, you know, for the Bhagavan aspect. So here in this verse, this is verse number 13, right? Verse 8 to 12, Shukadeva Goswami is talking about the features of the Lord. Various features, right? How the Lord has got a conch, how he has got a, you know, flower, and how the Lord is resembling, how is what dress he's wearing, what garland he's wearing. Even the Lord in the heart is wearing a garland, and that is fresh. Can you imagine that? It's beyond our conception. We can't even imagine, right? He's saying, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that the Lord is wearing a fresh garland as a Paramatma. But we are old, right? We are every day changing God. But the Lord is there because the Lord is completely spiritual, right? So 8 to 12 talks about the various aspects of the Lord. But the first, very first verse, Srila Prabhupada is saying, what did he say? He says, you know,
Very first word, see? Do not, okay, the process of meditation recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam is not to fix one attention on something impersonal or void. Right? Which means that the Lord is not impersonal. And the Lord has got beautiful features. Right? That is why Prabhupada has immediately, you know, see the intelligence of Srila Prabhupada. From verse 8 to 12, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about the personal aspects and the beautiful features of the Lord. Immediately, verse number 13, Srila Prabhupada says, that means don't ever think or meditate on the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So what you should do? Meditate on the aspect, personal aspect of the Lord, either as Paramatma or Bhagavan aspect. That is the first information Srila Prabhupada is passing on. The very first word. Right. Now, imagine that the Lord is impersonal. Of course, He is in the first aspect, right? How much can you relish? How much can you relish? Suppose that is a light, you know. The company, you know, India used to have Philips bulb, you know. They produce, you know, 50 watts, 100 watts, 1000 watts. Say there is 10,000 watts of lamp there. How much can you look at it? Will you not? Will all of us not get bored? Right? Isn't it? Now, in the lifting of the Govardhana hill, pastimes by the Lord, right? Krishna also lifted because Indra was giving torrential rains, you know, to the residents of Vrindavan. At the time, the Lord decided to lift the Govardhana hill, right? In his left significant finger. When the Lord was lifting, the residents, the whole residents of Vrindavan was just looking at the Lord for 7 days and seven nights. And they were getting transcendental ecstasy, looking at Krishna. See, looking at Krishna like this. Imagine, Lord is living 7 days and seven nights. That's it. Not looking at anywhere. And the residents of Vrindavan, they were feeling so much pressure, they did not eat. They did not sleep. They did not do anything except looking at the face of Krishna. That is what they did, 7 days. They did not do anything. So, that is ecstasy of... Why is that? Because Krishna's body is Satchitananda Vigraha. Satch means eternity. Bliss means happiness. Transcendental happiness, right? Bliss and knowledge. That is the aspect of the Lord. Satchitananda Vigraha. They are all the time engrossed in Satchitananda form. We have also got Radha Pallabha. Our Radha Pallabha is also transcendental. And it's also Satchidananda form is there. So if one wants to see Radha Pallabha, you can also look at it for 7 days, seven nights. You will not be bored actually. One can try that. But if you have a material vision, within a minute, you know, you will go away. Because our look, right? Whatever we see, we are seeing through the mind, okay? We are not seeing through the eyes. Right? If I see someone, I'm seeing through my mind, not through my eyes. So if the vision is spiritual, then 24 hours you can look at Radha. There's no doubt about it. But if your vision is material, okay, this is a dress, fine. I've seen this dress even 1 month back. That's it, you go away. That's all. Right? Now, coming contrary to this word, okay, what happens if you look at someone for 2 minutes, what will happen? There will be a police complaint, right? See, what happened, interesting enough, you know, the other day, not the other day, sometime back, as usual, you know, when we go on a supermarket, sometimes I'll say I'll catch up with my rounds, you know, I'll chant in my car, you know. One day evening, I think, probably, I don't remember which safe supermarket we went, you know. So when my wife went to buy, I was chanting, okay, in the car, you know, and sometimes, you know, we put down the, you know, the windows up and down and all that. I was chanting and all that. And when you chant, and as you know, I'm not fully focused, right? I have to look at other things also, here and there and all that. So we're chanting and all that, you know, I was really looking at the next car or something, and I was looking. After some time, you know, I was going like this, I was looking, I was thinking, what is there? Now, this person came up to me, why are you staring at me? He did ask that. In fact, I was not, you know, maybe, you know, I would have said, see, then sometimes, you know, you look at an object, and actually, you know, your vision is focused on something else, right? You may be looking. So, for example, I may be looking, but I may be thinking, what is it, you know? So, I might have meant like that, but this person came up to me, why are you looking? Why are you staring at me, you know? I said, immediately apologize, because that fellow was quite hefty, you know? Because in the material world, what happens is exploitation of the weak.
This is the nature of the material world. If someone is stronger, they will exploit you. That is how the material energy works, right? If someone is powerful, if someone is more stronger than you, immediately, right? This is the material nature. How we see in the case of animals, you know? When the tiger or the lion comes, all the other animals will run away. And when a strong, hefty, you know, person with a heavy body, then he comes, we will try to, even though he walks, you know, we'll try to, you know, because that is how the material world works. So Krishna gives us a formula. Don't trust, don't be of the material energy. What does Krishna say? Tribunya Vishayaveda, Nistribuna Bhavarjana. Transcend the three modes of material nature and be situated on the transcendental mode. Then you will be not affected by anything. Like a lotus flower, it is in water, but it is not affected by water. You will be in water, but you will not become wet. So that is the property, or that is the aspect of situating yourself in the transcendental energy of the Lord. So what do you mean by transcendental energy of the Lord? Someone may ask, what is that? What do you mean by that? Because all the time we know three modes. What are the three modes? Goodness, passion and ignorance. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Now transcendental energy means chanting Krishna 16 rounds. Of Hare Krishna mantra, right? Basically, all the senses should be engaged in transcendental activities. That is what, in short. But to condense it, or in other words, we can say, if one chants 16 rounds, then what happens? His mind is purified and fixed. Right? 16 rounds. Then, if one takes Krishna prasadam, his body is purified. Right? See, what is the main thing which is troubling us is body, mind and intelligence, right? Because that is a covering which covers the soul, right? Because there are two kinds of covering to the soul. One is a gross covering, which is made up of earth, water, fire and air, the body. And the other one is subtle covering, which is mind, intelligence, false ego. Now this, see, for example, if I don't want to see someone or something, you know, I can close my eyes. Then I don't see. In that way I can control. But how can you control your mind? How can you control your mind? Because the mind is very subtle. You don't know where the mind is. But you know one thing, that all the senses are reporting to the mind. Right? If you see a movie, whatever it may be, after 5 days you remember, this person. How is that? Because it's in the mind. So the mind, how can you shut down the mind? You cannot do that. The mind has it. Unless you close all the senses, you know, and then go to the forest or something, which is not practical also. Right? Isn't it? So, all the senses are reporting to the mind. That is why it's very difficult to control the mind. So, what was I talking about? Sorry, I lost the context. Yeah, and what is that relating to? What was before I was saying? Different energy of the Lord. Spiritual energy, that's why. So, we have to, we are chanting 16 rounds. That is to control the mind. That's what I'm talking about, mind. Very difficult to control the mind. On your own, a living entity cannot control the mind. On his own, on her own, right? A lady or a man, doesn't matter how powerful you are. Material energy cannot be controlled because we are tiny, insignificant soul. We cannot control the material energy. The moment you go and stand in the corner, you just stand there, the three modes of energy will come. No, I'm sorry, not the three modes now. In Kali Yuga, only two modes. There is no mode of goodness. We'll again come back to that. There is only mode of passion and ignorance, okay? If someone says in the mode of goodness, it's very, very rare, okay? Mode of goodness means only on demigods. Very high level, okay? So we are basically only two modes in Kali Yuga. Passion and ignorance. Passion means attraction between, in simple common sense, man and woman. Everything boils from that, right? Attraction between man and woman is a basic fundamental principle of mode of passion. It can boil down to desires, etc. But this is a basic attraction, unlimited desires. I want this, I want a house, I want this one, I want that. Is everything mode of passion. Mode of ignorance is opposite to goodness. What is mode of goodness? Goodness means sense control and knowledge. Everyone knows. We know. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. The lady is also property of Prajapati Vishnu. So everyone is a property. So how, what property can you touch? You know? You can't even touch anything. So sense control and knowledge. This is an aspect of mode of goodness. Right? Passion means unlimited desire. This is basically attraction. And mode of ignorance is opposite of mode of goodness, which means no knowledge, no sense control. Look at the people outside there. You know, anything they will do anytime. Just like animals. That's how it is. Animals, say, anything they'll do, you know, they no one to check, right? That is how it is. Mode of ignorance is like that. I will do anything I want. There is no check. Right? No one is checking them because they don't think that there is Lord in the heart as Paramatma. Hence, if no one is controlling me, I can do whatever I want. Right? That is mode of ignorance, you know. Very knowledge is not at all there. For example, when I was parked my car and I was entering into the temple, I saw one lady with a dog, okay? What she's basically doing is, she's putting a kind of a ball or something, right, to a place, and the dog is going and taking it and giving it to the lady. Right? And again, that lady takes and puts the ball somewhere else. Now, just now I saw. But this is the intelligence the dog has got. That's the intelligence. That's the maximum intelligence a dog has got, animal. It does not know anything, you know. They don't know that even though the dog is going there, the dog does not go. 197 is Hare Krishna temple where we can see the spiritual form of the Lord. Now, if the Lord by intelligence or by some freak, if it comes into the door and looks at Krishna, the dog will get liberation. Because no dog can see Krishna. I mean, in one sense, you know, because they can see the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Right? Immediately the Lord will get liberated because that is very special feature. You see the Sachidananda form of the Lord. But the Lord cannot do. That's the intelligence. But the human being is given full intelligence to realize Krishna to the Bhagavan aspect. Right? Not to the impersonal, not to the yogi. The yogi which Sukadeva Goswami is talking is only the second level. But a human being, Srila Prabhupada says, any human being, doesn't matter. You have white skin or black skin. Doesn't matter. Blue skin. Doesn't matter. Any human being, if you are a human being, if you take up this process of devotion service, you can go to God realization, to Bhagavan aspect, which means you know that the Lord is a person, you can talk to Him. Like how I can see you. You can see Krishna. He is not just a stone. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, is saying that. It is a fact too. It is not that he's just saying something. It's a fact. Okay? Alright, so that is how it works. So, if you chant Hare Krishna mantra, the mind is controlled. If you eat prasadam, the body is controlled. If you read spiritual literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, your intelligence is controlled. So, three levels are controlled. Then one will not fall down in the material pool. Right? So, that is why I say to remain in the transcendental energy. By chanting, by taking Krishna prasadam, and by reading, because the intelligence is at the top. Krishna gives an hierarchy in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3. He says, sense object, senses, mind, intelligence, then the soul. Right? So just the neighboring door to the soul is intelligence. So if the intelligence is controlled, then automatically the mind will be controlled. Mind is controlled, the senses will be controlled. Then the mind will not be attracted to the sense object. But if the intelligence says, right, I want it, then you cannot do. For in the case of a materialistic or a non-devotee, the intelligence is below the mind. For example, they'll think, I want to smoke now. Immediately the intelligence will say, oh, there is a shop there, there is a shop there, which cigarette you want, how much money you have got. Material intelligence. Immediately it works. This is a computer programmed by Brahma, the secondary creator. Krishna has got nothing to do with the material energy. The Lord is aloof from that. He is only interested in the material, spiritual energy. Okay? He has given the assigned the job to the Brahma. So, you cannot do anything. That is how it works. Alright. So, moving forward. So, if one stays on the spiritual energy, they are very safe. Right? Very, very safe. That's what Krishna is recommending. Because the three modes of material nature, or the two modes of material nature, is like a tsunami. You may be standing. You may be standing innocently. You don't know. It will wipe you out. Immediately the mode of passion will come and cover you. See, when you are in the temple, right, you'll be fine. But the moment you go out of the temple, immediately the mode of passion is like energy. Just cover you. And then finish. I want to work. I want to get money. I want to do this. Then when you come here, oh, Krishna, I will forget. Again, you go to the transcendental mode. When you go out, because this is the nature of mode of passion and ignorance, it will cover you like a tsunami, right? But there is a tsunami. How powerful are you? Even if you cling on to something, the force is so strong. So Krishna says, stand, go beyond tsunami and stand on the fourth level, fourth floor. Because three floors are contaminated anyway. So that is our approach. Alright. Now, so that is the example I gave. This person, right? I looked at him, he got angry. So we can't even look at a person for more than 1 minute or 2 minutes. You know, like devotees are okay. But this is how it is prevailing. Alright. So, okay. Now here, Sukadeva goes, Srila Prabhupada is saying about not to worship on the impersonal aspect, right? Why? Because impersonal aspect worship has got two inherent problems. What are they? One is that the Virat Rupa has got no fixed spiritual form. The Lord can expand, He can decrease, whatever He can do, right? There is no fixed form. And the second thing is, meditating on the impersonal aspect of the, meditating on the Virat Rupa can deviate onto the path of impersonalism. Even though meditating on Virat Rupa is to attain the service mood. See? Got the point? See, meditating on the Virat Rupa is actually to get the servicing mood. But what happens, it will trick you. You will go on the path of impersonalism. Srila Prabhupada is warning in the previous verse. So one has to be very, very clear that focusing on the Satchidananda aspect is very, very safe and very, very guaranteed. No fall down. Okay? And Virat Rupa is not, is tricky. Okay? If you are very, very keen, if you are very focused, determined, then you go on the Virat Rupa. And if you want to make a garland, you can spend your lifetime making a garland for the Virat Rupa. You can never complete it. But for our Radha Vallabha, we can finish in 1 hour or 2 hours. And Radha Vallabha is wearing a garland. And this power, this form is more powerful than the Jayajantik Virat Rupa form, which will lead to impersonalism. Right, okay. Why we are talking, Srila Prabhupada is talking is, Sukadeva Goswami is citing Lord Brahma as an example. What happened? Lord Brahma was worshipping on the Virat Rupa and he lost the focus for a minute or so, whatever may be. Brahma's time is very powerful. And then he lost about creation. He forgot. Because Srila Prabhupada says, Brahma is also a living entity according to the Lord. And so he forgot. Forgetfulness. So every living entity has got a forgetfulness. What is that? To forget that they are the spirit soul and that they are the eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone will forget that. That is how the material world is created. Forgetfulness of Krishna. So Brahma forgot this for a minute. And then what happened? He got into problem. And then again he concentrated on the Virat Rupa and he was reinstated into the original position. What is the original position? Being in Krishna consciousness. That's what Srila Prabhupada says, right? So, by chanting the Lord's name, one can get this position of reinstating into this spiritual attitude or mood or realizing that you are a spirit soul. Only the Hare Krishna mantra can do that. So, again, Prabhupada is mentioning that. Alright. Now, we talked about the intelligence, right? I thought I'll go a little bit further into intelligence. Now, in Bhagavad Gita 3.39, the Lord is saying that a living entity's consciousness, right, is covered by eternal enemy lust. Right? See, everyone has got senses, mind, intelligence. But why someone is acting very lusty, someone is not, and there is a lot of variation. Why is that? Because of intelligence, as I said, right? Because intelligence is higher. Right? Now, if the intelligence is trapped by lust, what is lust? Lust has got many definitions. Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a definition of lust. Okay? Atmendriya Preeti is Kama, Krishnendriya Preeti is Prema. Anything you do for yourself, I want, I and mine. This is the root cause of false egoism. I and mine. I want to do my family, my house, my thing, my husband, my wife. This is all false ego. Okay, this is kama. This is nothing to do with Krishna. Atmendriya Preeti. So what you do, because you have got that mentality in your mind, you use all your body facilities for serving the members. We are not saying don't serve it. I'm just getting the point, okay? That you serve, right? And because you are using your sense, eyes for the family, ears for the family, hands for the family, legs for the family, tongue for the family, ear for the family, what happens? Atmendriya Preeti. You're doing for your own satisfaction. That is known as kama. Kama means lust. But what is love? Love is Krishnendriya. Krishna has also got senses. You chant 16 rounds for Krishna's pleasure. You hear Krishna's pastimes for our benefit, purification, and also for Krishna's pleasure. You do service to the Lord for Lord's pleasure. You serve the devotees for the Lord's pleasure. You serve the Lord's Uttama Adhikari devotee, Srila Prabhupada, for the Lord's pleasure. Then that is love. Then that is love. Krishnendriya Preeti is Prema, is Krishna. That is love. So Krishna explains in 3.39 that the lust is covering the intelligence. Not only that, the Lord in the next verse goes further by saying, where are the strategic positions? The lust is covered in the body. See, who can talk like this other than Krishna? He's saying, where are the positions the lust is occupied? Is first is, he says, intelligence, mind and the senses. That is why I told the mode of passion is attraction between man and women. This happens how? Because the lust is there. The moment you see someone, you want to enjoy. Doesn't matter whether it's a computer or a mridanga or a movie or a woman or a man or a woman. Right? Doesn't matter. The enjoying propensity. That is what is keeping us in this world. The enjoying propensity. It may be gross. It may be subtle. For a man, it could be gross. For a female, it could be subtle. Nevertheless, it is a fact. It will keep you in this material world forever. Because the material energy will constantly supply you unlimited material things, thinking that you will be okay. Just stay here. It will not leave you. It's under the grip. It will not leave you. Right? So, the senses, mind and intelligence. Now, Krishna gives a formula. See, Krishna does not say, it will not leave us high and dry, okay? It Lord does not say, okay, this is your problem. Like all the companies, right? If I go to my problem, my manager, and tell him, there's a problem. That is your problem. You fix, man. They don't fix the problem. Right? All of you know that. All the computer guys, right? You fix your problem. But Krishna is not like that. He's not driving us high and dry. So what does Krishna do? Krishna gives a formula. He's saying, how do you conquer the lust? By spiritual intelligence. With your material intelligence, you are not going to control. Why? Because material intelligence is extension of your body. You, your wife, family, etc., cousin, brother, father, mother, right? How are they going to solve? They are all fallible soldiers, right? They are not going to do anything. But spiritual intelligence, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that can help you out to control your material senses. And hence, what's the advantage of controlling material senses? You know that you are a spirit soul. And once you know you are a spirit soul, you got nothing to do with the material world. Even though you may act, right? You may be in water, but you will not become wet. That's the advantage of being Krishna conscious. You know, all the senses, if you are in Krishna service, you are a person, but you are not, you are immune to the material energy. You will be there, but it will, the material energy will have least, it will say, this guy is hopeless, okay? I will not better worry him. Do whatever you want. So we want that kind of attitude from material energy. We want the material energy. Leave me. Leave me. I am not for you. I am meant for Krishna's pleasure. We are Krishna's. Krishna is mine. We are meant. We are part of Krishna. Aham. Krishna. Why does it say? Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entities are my eternal fragmental part. Till we come to that state that we are part of Krishna. We are Krishna's. Material energy will not leave you. It will give you constant supply of enjoyment. This is there. Try this. Try this. Try this. Try this. Right? Enjoy. Enjoy. Right? It will not happen. Why? Because everything is a false promise, you know. Material energy will give you false promise. Why false promise? Because whatever we see is a combination of the three modes of material nature. There is nothing spiritual I am seeing here except the soul in everyone's heart. That, you know, I am not that qualified to see. Through intelligence I may see, but in real eyes I am not able to see because soul is spiritual. Right? Right? it gives a false promise. What is the false promise? It is the three modes of material nature is manifesting again and again in different forms. All our bodies, right? It's made up of three modes of material nature, different forms. We are attracted to one form. We are attracted to the form. What is that form made up of? What does a man say? Man and woman, basically they are soul. Because of the covering men's body, ladies' body, attraction is happening to the material energy. If you remove that body, soul and soul, they all are same. What's the difference between man and woman? But if you look through the material angle, lady, men, attraction. Right? Because everyone is spirit soul. The body, as I said, has got two coverings. The mind, intelligence, false ego, is spiritual cover. So it's a subtle covering. The earth, water, fire, air, ether is a gross covering. My body is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. There's nothing special in that. And I've got an inner layer which is mind, intelligence, false ego. And the living entity, the source or the soul, is trapped into this body from time immemorial. It is the material energy will not leave us. It will not leave also. Unless we have this serving attitude. If you keep on having the enjoying attitude, the material energy will not leave us. It doesn't matter. Birth after birth, you can try universe after universe. It is not going to leave us. The enjoying mentality should move from us to Krishna. That's change of consciousness. That is why our founder Acharya said, Krishna consciousness. Consciousness should change at the root. At the root is false ego. The false ego is very, very subtle. It's not easy to change. I am a man. Because when the soul is coming from the Lord, the first covering is false ego. Immediately, you are a man, you are a woman. And then comes your mind, intelligence, and then your gross body. So the false ego is stamped, the soul is stamped with the false ego. Yes, you are a man. You are a woman. Very difficult. Root cause is Krishna consciousness. It will go to the root. Till the false ego is cleared, you can act on any level. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But with Krishna's grace, it's very easy. On our own, it's very difficult. Yeah? So, there is no real substance in the material world. That's what I'm trying to say. Because my body is made up of earth, water, fire, and ether. Right? My mind, intelligence, false ego is again made up of material element. If I die this minute, what happens? My mind, intelligence, false ego will separate from the body. My body will stink within few hours. So, it has to be burned. So, the mind, the earth, water, fire will go to the respective component. Right? If my body is burned, the earth will go to earth, the air will come out of the and go there, the water will go to the component, and then the mind, intelligence, false ego, and the soul will go and take another body, what I'm thinking at the time of death. In my previous birth, I don't know, I was thinking of a man. Maybe I was a lady. I was thinking of my husband, so I got a male body. I don't know. Or maybe I was a dog. I was thinking of my master. Oh, you're treating me nicely. So I got a man's body. I don't know. I can keep on guessing. But the fact is, Krishna says that I thought about a man, so I got a man's body. Right? Now, this is what happened. If I think at least, you know, I should be wise enough that I was, when I was born, I did not have any information about the soul. But I thought when I die, I should die realizing that I'm a spirit soul. I should not die on the bodily platform. This is what I'm thinking, unless Krishna gives me the intelligence. Right? So the material world has got no real substance, okay? The body is burned. Because I have done Shraddha for my father and mother, because I don't have father and mother. Both of them passed away a few years back, my mother and then my father. Because I have burned their body, you know. I saw my mother's body 1 hour before, and then after that they gave me some ashes. I said, is that my mother's body? Is that my father's body? Yes, they said, yeah, go and mix it in the holy rivers. I thought, that means what is a body does not have any... No. Body does not have any real significance at all. It is just a covering, like a shirt. Today I am using this shirt. Tomorrow I am using some other jumper. Why do you care about the jumper? Krishna is hammering this point from chapter 2. Today you are having man's body. Tomorrow a lady's body. Some other time a cat's body, dog's body, a tree's body. Why are you attached to the body? Come to the spiritual level and then everything is easy. That's what Lord is saying. Recommending this throughout Bhagavad Gita starting from chapter 2. So this is chapter 3. Right? So, the material desires. Okay. cutting to the point now. Now you may say, okay, how about the people living everywhere else? They are very happy, right? Isn't it? Why do you talk about this? Look at, go to the, you know, the dance street and stand there. How people are so happy. Yeah, we will talk about that. Okay. Now what happened? People everywhere else, they're working very, very hard. Okay. What they're working? They're working to keep the senses happy. Right? Because what are they doing? Basically, they're getting some food to eat for the tongue. They see some movie for the eyes. They hear some songs for the ear. And some satisfaction for genital. And whatever may be, you know, they want to play for cricket or something for the hands. That's it. So basically sense gratification, right? Extension of sense gratification. But they're working very hard. But what does Krishna says in the 3.39 verse? Saying, the Lord is saying, the lust which is never satisfied and which burns like a fire. We have all seen fire, right? In Yagna, when there is a fire, when you put ghee or oil into the fire, what happens? What happens? Does it stop? It burns, right? More and more. So when someone wants, a cigarette smoker is there, what if you want to stop smoking, he should not touch the cigarette. If you keep on smoking, he will link the smoking, the attraction between senses and sense object will be like that. Very difficult to get out. Very difficult. Doesn't matter. Let it, any sense object. It could be a movie, it could be a man, it could be a woman. They are all sense objects for us. So the attraction is very, very difficult and it burns like a fire in the heart. Very difficult to remove that. Very difficult to remove. You cannot remove that attraction. It burns like a fire. So what do you do if you want to stop the fire? The fire of lust is burning in our heart. Give me that. Give me this. Give me. Go more and more. More. It will never stop. All of us know that, right? If you want some, even in prasadam, if you take some samosa or something, wait, give me one more, one more, one more. See, the lust is there. Even though it's prasadam, give me more, more. We are going to eat khichdi. You know, more khichdi, more. Even I am going to say that. Because in one sense it's okay because Krishna prasadam. But actually look at our mentality, you know. Because we were in the material energy from time immemorial. We want more and more. More. This is what the problem is. Okay? So, they cannot be happy. Right? There, 3.39. In 5.22 also, Krishna is saying this point. Very beautiful verse. You know, Lord is saying, the attachment between senses and sense object is a greatest source of misery. Lord is not saying happiness, right? We think there is happiness. If you see a movie, or if you drink a coffee, or smoke a cigarette or something, we think there is happiness. Krishna is saying the opposite. What does he say? The attraction between senses and sense object is the greatest source of misery. Why? Because anything which has got a beginning and end is temporary and a wise person will not partake in such pleasures. Right? Any pleasure in the material world is temporary. Whatever the pleasure they call so far, how long? Couple of minutes? Few minutes? Few seconds? Even if you drink coffee, 1 minute, okay, you can drink the coffee. It has got a beginning and end. Again you wanted more coffee. Again more. Krishna explains that. All the material pleasures has a beginning and end. And it wants more and more. It never stops. So Krishna says, better throw it away. Don't want this. Come to my side. What does Krishna say? Soul. Always happy. The body is anyway going to die. Soul, you come to me and live permanently with me. This is Krishna's approach. And Krishna's request. Hence, he's demanding on the 18th chapter, after he spoke everything, every sarvadharmantara, everyone should surrender unto me. Lord's demand, basically. Then only it is good for us. If we don't take the Lord's demand, then we will be ruined, actually. Right? Okay, even in the... Okay, one may ask, okay, how about countries like Australia? In India, we know we are suffering, okay? We know we are suffering. What is it? Sometimes, you know, it's no good care, water is not there, that is not there, climate. Okay, they will say, how about country like Australia, advanced country, Western country? In Western country, if people are happy, if people are quite comfortable, is everyone happy? People are not suffering? Suffering. Why? Because spirit soul, right, it's trapped in the material energy. We have to understand in a very, very clear way. The material energy, right, has trapped spirit soul, which is Satchidananda form. Which has this eternity, bliss and knowledge. That soul is trapped by the material energy with the senses, right? The soul naturally wants enjoyment. So because the soul is trapped in the material body, it is looking through the senses for material enjoyment, even though it is not matter. Very precarious situation. Right? The spirit soul, which is spiritual being part of Krishna, is trapped into the material energy, and it is identifies through the senses, the sense object, and enjoying matter. So how do you come back to the normal state? How did Brahma reinstate into a normal position? How do we come back? By Krishna consciousness. Because anything you do with Krishna consciousness is spiritual, not material. Satchitananda Vigraha. Everything. So by chanting about Krishna, by talking about Krishna, by talking Lord's devotees, by leading about God, by taking Krishna prasadam, anything. By doing service to the devotees, by doing service to Srila Prabhupada, Guru. All spiritual. There is no tinge of materialism in there. So you realize you are a spirit soul. So one fine day you will become completely spiritual. And then Krishna can take you back. It is going to happen. Right? When the material energy can trap you, spiritual energy can liberate you. That's the whole thing. Then you believe that, oh, we are trapped in the material energy. We have confidence, we should have confidence in spiritual energy, that the spiritual energy will liberate us. Right? We have so much faith in the material energy, but we don't have faith in spiritual energy. As long as the material energy binds you, so long the spiritual energy will liberate you. You will know that you are a completely spirit soul by the practice of Krishna consciousness. Because spiritual life means two things are there, right? What are the two things? One has to learn and practice. It is not enough if you listen and don't practice. You will not realize it. Like an experiment. It's a science. Science means you learn, get the theory, and you do practical thing, right? In the same way, spiritual means you hear, you go and practice. What did they say in the class? Chant 16 rounds. Okay, try a few rounds. Try 4 rounds. Eat prasadam. Try and see. You know for yourself. We are not, you know, making a joke of things. Otherwise, I won't be wasting my time talking about this. It's a fact. So you try. And then you realize you are a spirit soul. Then you do more. You don't want to go to the material side. You don't want anything material. But even though as a grahastha, you have to do your prescribed duties. So one has to do that as a purification, as a service to the Lord. Not getting attached. I am doing this because of my wife. No. We do it as a purification, as a service to Krishna. Our grahastha ashram is a grahastha sannyasi. We also should live like sannyasi. It is not that grahastha ashram meant for enjoyment. It is also a sannyasi ashram. But where you behave as a sannyasi, but white clothes. But you begin, then you realize you are a spirit soul. But if you are on the other side, then you are not able to realize. Okay, now everything is boiling down, all this problem, right? Due to, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, due to the material, mental impurities. The mind is full of impurities. Srila Prabhupada says, impure mind thinks that he is a body. If we think that we are the body, that means we need cleaning agent. What's a cleaning agent? Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Right? If you think that we are the body, that means we need cleaning. Including me, I'm not saying. If I know that I'm a spirit soul, I'll stop chanting. I can't do that. But pure mind thinks that it's a spirit soul. That means mind needs a lot of cleaning. Pure mind thinks that. How the mind will become pure? By purifying. How to purify? Again, by depending on Krishna's name, holy name. There is no other way. Kali Yuga, complete shelter of Krishna's name. There is no other way. No other way. 24 hours if possible, we can chant Krishna's name. That is a purification. Constant touch with the Lord's name. That is a purifying. The moment you remove the Lord's name, material mode of passion. Finish. Constantly in touch with the Lord's name is not very difficult, but try. Think at least, you know. We are thinking of so many things, right? Mind is there to think, right? Mind is a component given by the Lord to think. But instead of thinking of Krishna, we are thinking of some nonsense. That is our problem. So how do you make your mind train? Krishna gives again a formula. Everything secret is in Bhagavad Gita. How? To control the mind by two steps. Detachment and practice. What is the practice? Bhakti yoga. What is the detachment? From sense object. Again the Lord is saying, detach from sense object. practice devotional service, then you come to Krishna side. Otherwise you will be in the material side trapped. Alright? So, we basically covered this. And one of the important message from Bhagavad Gita is that as long as the living entity has got the enjoying propensity, you cannot practice devotion service properly. Right? So what is recommended is, one should not artificially renounce. Okay? For example, I'm giving a class now. Now I should not think, oh, I'm giving a class. I'm a very advanced devotee. Now I am purified. No, it's not like that. I have got a lot of purification to be done. So the enjoying propensity is still there. So what I should do? I should do the prescribed duties very nicely as a purification. For Grahastha, the prescribed duty is charity, prescribed duties, whatever the work qualities I've got, I have to work. Then charity and austerity. I have to do charity. Otherwise there is no purification. All Grahasthas. And then what's austerity? We have to follow four regulative principles. Austerity. No meat eating. No intoxication. No illicit sex. No gambling. These ones you follow. And then everything is alright. You have to do that. Especially for the Grahastha Arama, you have to do austerity, charity and prescribed duties. Very, very important. And then, once you do that, then you are enjoying propensity, constantly working hard for devotion service too. Doesn't mean that you leave devotion service. As much as you do 50%, you do 100% devotion service. If you do 50% of material activity, spiritual should be more than that. It is not that you do 50% and 20% spiritual. No. Spiritual, you have to work hard to fill in the spiritual gaps. And then, with that, slowly the enjoying propensity will go down. For Grahastha Ashram, I'm talking. And then, you will realize. And then you are eligible for renunciation. Otherwise, we see sometimes, you know, Srila Prabhupada comments, how artificially someone says, I'm very renounced, and they go and sit in Vrindavan, and immediately they're attracted because they're not pure. The heart is meditating on the sense object. Externally thinking that I'm very purified, but internally there's a lot of purification to be done. Right? So one cannot imitate. So we have to constantly do devotion service and continue with our prescribed duties. So that is a purification. And then Lord will show us the path. We do not have to be overactive on that. Right? So for that, you know, we have to do. Rupa Goswami has given a formula in Nectar of devotion. Accept whatever is favorable for devotion service and reject whatever is unfavorable. If someone is calling for a movie, you have to think, is it for my pleasure or Krishna's pleasure? Krishna's pleasure, I will chant. My pleasure movie, I don't know. That is favorable. It comes with intelligence, right? Over time. Okay. And I think time up, I wanted to finish off quickly, you know, a story which talks about intelligence and lust. I thought intelligence is there, lust is also there. So it's a very good package, you know, you got it. Now this is a story which relates to Mahabharata, where Vyasa Muni is the one who wrote Mahabharata, right? Now he has got a disciple, very quickly I'll wind up. He has got a disciple known as Jaimini, not Gemini, Jaimini. Now this disciple, while Vyasadeva was transcribing some portion of the Vedas, this is a very intelligent man, he's very, very intelligent also, little bit proud too. Because material intelligence produces pride or proud. As he was transcribing, at one stage, Vyasadeva said, lust is so deadly that even the most learned men are bewildered. Okay? That is the thing Vyasadeva told him. But this person, he thought, how can you say, most intelligent person cannot be lusty? Okay? So he transcribed as, lusty is deadly, and only the most intelligent men are unaffected. Got the point? Most intelligent, unaffected. But Vyasadeva said that even the most intelligent are affected, which means doesn't matter whatever level of intelligence, your material intelligence, you will be affected by lust. Lust means any form of lust, any enjoyment you will be. Then he wrote it. Then Vyasa Muni is very, very powerful, right? One who wrote Srimad Bhagavatam for us, right? You can imagine, he's a literary incarnation. Krishna's knowledge, he is a form of Krishna's knowledge. So he can constantly write very, very, you know, mystically very powerful too. So he thought, oh, he is doing like that. Okay, we have to test him, okay? Now what happened was, one day, when Jaimini, his disciple, was in a hut, you know, those days they used to live in a hut, not in a four-bedroom or two-story building. Only one hut for everyone. Right? So when he was living in that hut there, now what happened? He heard some knock. When he opened, he saw one young, beautiful lady standing. It was raining and she was almost wet, you know. Then imagine what Jaimini, he was a little bit disturbed. What is this? Okay. Then he opened. She said, it's raining, I want to take shelter, you know. He said, okay. He thought, I'm very intelligent. Okay, come, sit down. Then that lady was as usual. She was doing, taking rest from the. Jaimini was constantly looking like this. Like this, you know. So obviously, you know, the senses attracted means sense, mind is already dwelling. So he was trying to lust on the lady. Slowly he wanted to, you know, enjoy that lady. He's a yogi, you know, he's a muni, okay. The Jaimini is not married. See, in the Vedic system, out of the four ashrams, right? Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. Only Grahastha ashram can Grahastha ashram can mix with the ladies. Right? Other three ashram, no ladies. That is a strict culture we had. Now he belongs to, you know, Sannyasi. Right? So he was like this. Then he approached a lady and he said, I want to, you know, enjoy you. What should I do? He said, if you want to enjoy, get married. That is a Vedic culture. You cannot, you know, touch me also without getting married. Then, okay, he said, fine, I'll marry. Then the lady said, marriage means not in the house. You have to go to the temple. You have to go to the temple. That's why they used to get married. Go to the temple, get married. And then, you know, okay, then because it was raining, that lady said, I am scared to go. But I want to go if you want to. But I don't mind if I sit on your back. You can drive like you behave like a horse. I can sit on your back. Then this Jaimini said, okay. He was driven by that sex desire. And he is saying, yes, I don't mind. So he was going like a horse, and then the lady was sitting on the back and going. After some time, this lady was saying, lust is so deadly that the most intelligent person are unaffected. Then Jaimini said, this is the one I am transcribed. How did you know? Then Vyasadeva took the form. He said, you fool, you know. How can you behave like this? Just for the body, you know, which is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and that body is constantly changing. We see her, you know. How old is she, Mataji? 6 years old. Soon she will become 8 years old. She will become 12 years old. Then 16 years old. Then she will become 20 years old. Then later, 25 years, she will be married. 25 years, 30 years, 70 years, the body will also become old. In the mode of passion, you immediately see the body present state. You don't see the state which is going to happen in the future. This is a problem with the mode of passion. Immediate enjoyment, now. But I am also going to become old. The lady is also 18-year-old also going to become 8-year-old. Because the body is constantly changing. Krishna is explaining this in chapter 2. Right? Body. What he is saying? By childhood to boyhood. Boyhood to youth. Youth to adolescent. Adolescent to old age. Old age to death. Body is constantly changing. So which body should I be attracted? If I am attracted, should I be attracted to my wife's 20-year-old body? Or my wife's 28-year-old body, or my wife's 35-year-old body, or my wife's 40-year-old body, or my wife's 50-year-old body, or my wife's 60-year-old body. Which body should I be attracted? Body is constantly, the minute I spoke Bhagavadam, and now my body has changed. I am not that body which I spoke the class at, right? At 7:30 when I sat down here, my body has changed now. The soul is the one which is constantly present. Right? So this knowledge which Krishna is giving us, right? He has been told to Vyasudev, and Jaimini understood. He said, never again. He said, no, even the intelligent persons are affected by lust. Lust means your attention is away from Krishna. If your attention is towards Krishna, no lust. Why? Because he is a master of senses. Master of lust, Cupid is Krishna. So who can conquer anyone? Right? So if you are always under the constant shelter of the lotus feet of our Radha Vallabha, then no lust. If you deviate from Radha Vallabha, lust. So I'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections? We'll stop here. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaurav Prem.